Let us now turn to the portion of God's Word read, namely the Psalm 26, Psalm numbered 26, and we shall read from the second verse of this Psalm. Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my reins and my heart. Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my reins and my heart. Here we have, in these words, a petition arising from the heart of David, because we're told this is a psalm of David. We know who the author is, and obviously this is his petition. And this is very clearly the exercise of his soul. He knows from experience that important exercise of self-examination. Now, we're all aware that this is the exercise of this particular day. This day is appointed as a day for self-examination. And thus, when we come to words like this, we come not just to a prayer of a man like ourselves, but we come to an inspired prayer, so that we have no need even to question for a moment the fact that this is a real prayer. This is a divinely inspired prayer put into the heart and into the soul of the psalmist. It is a deeply spiritual prayer. There's nothing false, there's nothing shallow, there's nothing superficial about it. It is a real prayer, and therefore we ought to learn from it. When the Savior's disciples came to him on one occasion, they said, "Lord, teach us to pray." When they heard their Savior pray, they felt they didn't know much about that exercise. And one of the ways that the Lord does teach his people to pray is by the exemplary prayers of his people. And thus we shall endeavor to consider these words, this particular exercise, that if we are earnest about, we may learn something of from these words. Examine me, O Lord. And the very first thing that should be obvious is this. This is a personal examination. This is a personal exercise. Examine me. Not my neighbor, but me. Not my friends, but me. Examine me, O Lord. And prove me. Try my reins and my heart. Very similar to the language that we were singing in Psalm 139. The second matter that we may consider is that this exercise of examination is to be precise. Examine me, O Lord. This is not the business of an angel. This is not the business of an elder or a minister. We're having dealings with God here. Examine me, O Lord. And then the third thing that we may consider is, this is a present exercise. This is not something that we can procrastinate over, leave it over to tomorrow or some more convenient season. It is required now. Examine me. This is what the psalmist desires God to do now. And the fourth thing that we may note is that this prayer for self-examination is prophetic. And that's what brings such a beauty and such a glory to these words. because we look to someone beyond David. Examine me, O Lord, as we said, this is a prayer for a personal examination. Now, have we been exercised today to any degree in examining ourselves? We might conclude at the end of it all, we haven't gotten very far. And we haven't been very successful. We have no confidence that we have really done what we ought to do. The psalmist here has been examining himself. He has been exercised. He is here revealing to us what his thoughts are. He has been examining his life. His everyday life, his religious life, and he is before God telling him and telling us what the results are as far as he can figure them out. Look at what he says. Judge me, O Lord, for I have walked in mine integrity. He is reflecting upon his life, upon his conduct. And this is what he says, when I examine myself, I believe I have walked in mine integrity. I have lived before God as a man of principle and a man of integrity, a man of honesty and uprightness. He goes on to reveal to us he is a man of faith. He is not just an honest, upright man, he is a man of faith. I have trusted also in the Lord. I have not trusted in myself or my own righteousness or my own works. I have also trusted in the Lord. I'm not walking as a man in integrity by my own efforts, by something that is found in my nature, but I have also trusted in the Lord. Therefore I shall not slide. Verse 3, for thy loving kindness is before mine eyes, and I have walked in thy truth. Here is a man that is exemplary. Here is a man that we would look up to as a most godly man, an example of godliness. I have walked in thy truth. Then he goes on to say, I have not sat with vain persons. I have been careful of my company. I haven't sat with the vain and the empty and the frivolous. And then he says, neither will I go in with dissemblers. And here is a man who is very careful of his company, even when he goes to the worship of God. He goes on further. I have hated the congregation of evildoers. He's been examining every aspect, as it were, of his life and his conduct. And I will not sit with the wicked. You go to the first psalm, the man is blessed. He walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. Here is a man who can claim the blessing of God. Blessed is this man. This is a blessed man. But he is concerned that he will be examined aright. He says, verse 6, I will wash mine hands in innocency, so will I compass thine altar, O Lord. Here is a worshipper of God. He will compass the altar of God because he is a worshipper of the God of the altar. Then you can see in verse 8, he says, I have loved the habitation of thy house. It's not the world that I've loved. But I've loved the habitation of thy house and the place where thine honor dwelleth. That's where my heart is. That's where my affections go. Here is truly a godly man. Then he goes on, gather not my soul with sinners, nor my life with bloody men. Verse 11, but as for me, I will walk in mine integrity, and so on. Here is a man, and he has been engaged in personal self-examination. Is he satisfied then? The work is done. I have come to these conclusions, and now I'm satisfied. No. After it all, he says, examine me, O Lord. This is what I've come to conclude. But I now want divine examination. I now want the examination that really is of importance to me, that I might know my relationship with God is as it ought to be. Over in the book of the Revelation, in the second chapter, amongst the messages that are sent to the seven churches, in the second chapter of Revelation, verse 23, we read these words, and I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he which searcheth the reins and hearts, and I will give unto every one of you according to your work. All the churches should know, and all the people of God must know, that I am he. There's no substitute. There is no one else qualified. There is no one else capable of doing this. I am he which searcheth the reins and the heart. He claims the authority and the right to do just exactly what the psalmist is asking for. Examine me, O Lord. Search, he says, my heart. Examine me, prove me, try my reins and my heart. He wants the examination to go deep. He doesn't want some little superficial examination. He wants God to go deep. Deep into the deepest, most secretive recesses of his heart and soul. And thus, this examination is to be most precise. Nothing is to be overlooked. Nothing, no part of his life or his experience can escape. Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. And the idea there is that God would test him or prove him as gold or as silver is tried and proved. It's tried in the furnace, and as it gets purer, so it goes up in its grade of value. Prove me. Try my reins and my heart. Test me and try me. Remember what Job said. Job was desperate to draw near to God and to be able to present his case before God. But this is what he come to conclude. He knoweth the way that I take. And when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. What does the psalmist want? He wants improvement. He wants spiritual improvement. I want to be progressing spiritually. I'm not satisfied to sit here thinking, well, I am a true worshiper of God. I am careful about my conduct and about my conversation and about my company. And I'm satisfied that I'm better than many others. No, no, he here comes to God. Oh, I want this work to be deep. Prove me. See what quality my religion really is of. See what quality. Reveal to me what is the real quality of my spirituality. What is the real quality of my religious experience? It isn't sufficient that I look at it and satisfy myself. Well, it's a great improvement of what it used to be. Or in comparison with my neighbor, it is way beyond anything I see around me. No, no. Prove me. Try my reins. Try my heart. Where is my heart? Where is my heart? Has the world got the hold of it? Or has Christ got it in his possession? Now, when the psalmist asked God to examine him, he's very specific. Examine me, O Lord. He doesn't need any assistance. He doesn't imagine God needs some help in this matter. Examine me, O Lord. And how is he qualified to be the searcher and the trier of the reins and the searcher of the heart? Because he is God. And because he is God, he is omniscient. He knows everything. He knows every secret. He knows absolutely everything. There's no escaping his notice. And therefore, if we will join with the psalmist, come before God and we ask, examine me, O Lord. We must be prepared for a real search. Because God is omniscient and he knows absolutely everything. We can hide many things from our neighbors, even from the Lord's people. We can hide many things sometimes even from ourselves. But there's one thing certain, we can hide nothing whatever from God. He is omniscient and he is omnipresent, so that there is not one moment of our lives that he is ignorant of. From the moment we came into this world, he has known perfectly everything about us. Wherever we go, to the remotest corners of the globe, makes no difference. God is there. We were singing from that Psalm 113. And the psalmist knew if he climbed to the heights of heaven, God was there. If he plumbed the very depths of hell, God was there. There was no escaping. Now then, when we think of it, can we honestly say we are prepared for such an examination? Would we dare to pray such a prayer if we know who God is and what he is? Because then we know we're going to learn the truth. We are going to discover reality. There will be no escaping. There will be no pretending. We will discover, if God examines us, we will discover exactly what we are, if we are prepared to receive his revelation of the truth to us. But God is a God not only who knows everything and from whom we cannot escape, but he searches the heart. He doesn't just look at it. He searches. He searches into our public life. He searches into our private life. He searches into our business life. He searches into our family life. Everything. Nothing escapes him when we're sitting at our tables, when we're sitting in our lounges, when we're in the workplace, when we're traveling, everything. Our words, our actions, our thoughts, our motives. Oh, how God searches our motives. Why are we doing what we're doing? Why are we saying what we're saying? Because we are required, whether we eat or whether we drink or whatsoever we do, what is to be the motive behind it? To glorify God and to enjoy Him. Oh, if God were to examine our motives behind so many of our actions, behind so many of our words, would we not be condemned? Outwardly we appear to be so honest, to be so upright, and yet hidden behind so much of our outward show is a deceitful heart. Oh, how deceitful the heart is. And here's the psalmist, and he's asking God to examine his heart, to go deep inwardly as well as outwardly. Prove me, try my reins and my heart. Is there anything good in my heart? It's deceitful above all things, but is that all there is to it? Has there been any change in my heart? Is my heart a hard and stony heart? Or is it a tender heart? Examine my conscience. Examine my conscience. Is my conscience asleep, allowing me to sin? Is my conscience deadened through transgression and hardening against the voice of God, convicting me of my sin, convicting me of my corruption? And because I go on in my way resisting, is my conscience not troubling me now? Examine my conscience. Examine my will. Am I willingly following Christ with a willing heart? Or am I, as it were, because of the company I keep, because of the expectations people have of me, do I keep up a show of willingness? I go to the means of grace. I attend the house of God. I like the company of God's people, but what does it all mean? Do I know anything of what the psalmist was talking about or writing about when he speaks of a willing people? A people made willing in the day of his power. Have I ever been made willing? Or my supposed following of Christ, is that the result of my upbringing and my teaching, that I've learned that's what I ought to do? And because of the company I'm in and everyone else appears to be doing the same thing, it makes it easier for me. Or do I follow Christ because I cannot go anywhere else? Is my will brought into conformity to His will? Examine my will. Examine my affections. Oh, do we ever hear the Lord come to us as He came to Peter with that question, "Lovest thou me more than these? Lovest thou me? Examine me. Examine me, O Lord, and prove me and test me and try my heart. Try me. What is it that I really love? Where are my affections? Are they in things above? Or am I in bondage and a slave to the things that Moses despised when he forsook Egypt? He left behind the treasures and the pleasures of Egypt because he was seeing with the eye of faith him who is invisible. Now then, what would we want God to try? Even the children know. At school, their examination comes along. Do they go to the examination in a casual attitude? I really don't care whether I succeed or fail, doesn't make any difference. Do they go with the intention, rather, I must do my very, very, very best. I must give it my all. I must present myself as knowledgeable of the subject or whatever to a high degree. Now, isn't that how we approach the kind of examinations we're accustomed to in this life? Here is an examination that surely we are going to present before God to be examined our very best. And what is that? Our supposed righteousnesses. Isn't that the best that we have to offer? And God says, as the great examiner who tries the hearts, present before me for examination your best, not your worst, but your best. And what do? We come with our righteousnesses and we present it to God. Well, I'm a real good church attender. Doesn't that count for something? I study the Scriptures. That surely must mean something to God. I am upright and honest in all my dealings with my fellows. And on we might go. And at the end, congratulating ourselves, I never thought I was so good. I never imagined until I began to list all my virtues and all my righteousness, I never reckoned before just how good I was. And God examines it. What's His verdict? All your righteousnesses are as filthy rags. That's the result. All your righteousnesses are as filthy rags in the sight of God. What has happened? We have failed. Isn't that what Romans tells us, what the apostle writes in Romans? All have sinned and come short. All, without exception, have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We've come short. This isn't an examination that the result is fake in. This is an examination where God is truthful. And this is what he says. I have examined your righteousness, all your virtues, all your religion. I've examined your prayers. I've examined your exercises. And they fall short. Does that mean anything to us? Examine me, O Lord. Give me the result. Tell me what is discovered in me. Tell me what the real situation is. And the scriptures tell us that all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. You see, God won't overlook anything. He won't let anything escape his attention. Now then, the question is, how do we feel when God reveals the truth? How do we feel? How do we feel this evening? If God's examining us, are we going to say, you've made a mistake? Are we going to imagine to ourselves, that must be the result of the examination of someone else? Are we going to imagine, well, if God will examine him, I suspect the result will not be good. If God examines her, I have no doubt that God will find fault with him or her. And we could go round so many and imagine to ourselves, well, if they're examined, it's not going to be good. But if God examines me, he's going to see I'm so much better. How do we feel when God comes to us on a Friday evening of a communion and says to every one of us, without exception, you where you are, I where I am, every one of us, you've come short. How do we feel about that? You've come short. Man's chief end is to glorify God, but you have come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous. No, not one. Not one. But then we must move on. This exercise, this examination is in the present. Examine me, O Lord. And that's what we ought to be praying this day, this evening. Examine me now. You see, if we don't want God to examine us now, let's make no mistake about it. We are going to be examined. And if we're not examined now in time, we are going to be examined in eternity. Because the day is fast approaching when the books shall be opened. And every man is going to be judged out of the things that are written in the books. We will then face reality. If we don't face it now, if we're not prepared to be humbled now, and if we're not brought to contrition now, then the prospect for eternity, for the end of life and for eternity, is not promising. We have that record of the seat set for judgment, and the judge of all the earth who will do righteously. The books are opened. And what we're going to discover is this. You and I, our lives, our words, our thoughts, our sins, they're on record. God keeps perfect record. God keeps accurate record. And you and I might think, well, I'm not a member in this congregation. I've never come to the Kirk session seeking admission to the Lord's table. And therefore, it doesn't really apply to me tonight that I'm to examine myself, because that's an exercise for those that go to the table. Doesn't the apostle say that we are to examine ourselves and so eat and so drink? And I'm not intending to do that. So I'm not under any obligation to really examine myself or to pray that God would examine me. If we are not examined now, young people, you who are here this evening unconverted, you are going to be examined. The books will be opened, and you will have to give an account of all the deeds done in the body, whether they be good or whether they be evil. And that is why it is your wisdom, it is my wisdom, to come to God with honest hearts and say, examine me now while it is in time. I do not want to be left at last to face the awful realities of my heart and my stubborn will and my sleeping conscience. I don't want the day to arrive when I shall be exposed and all the reality of my sin will be exposed. Examine me now. Show me what I am. Show me the reality. Show me my sin. Show me my corruption. Show it to me now. Show it in mercy. If we do not want that, and we may escape now, and we may soothe our consciences, and we may manage our way through the communion, and at the end of it feel satisfied. I listen to the sermons, I observed what was taking place, and now I can wait to the next communion before I'm faced with these things again. Examine me, O Lord, and do it now, because it's an urgent matter. Who here among us want to be deceived? Who here on this Friday evening among us on our way to eternity to meet our God? Who among us want to be deceived? Because remember what the Savior says, there will come the time when many, not a few, but many shall be knocking and saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. Lord, open to us. Have we not done this? Have we not done that? All the things we've done, are they not to be recognized? All the things we did, we thought for Christ's sake, for the good of his kingdom, do they mean nothing now? We're shut out. Depart from me, I never knew you. You never asked me to examine you. Oh, you said things and did things in my name, but you didn't want me to reveal the truth to you. You didn't want to face it. You didn't want to be humbled by it. You didn't want to be down in the dust of self-abasement as a contrite, broken-hearted sinner. You were so proud, you were so haughty, you were so defiant, Now it's too late when the books are opened. Now depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Now, these words are, as we said, inspired words of petition and prayer. But there is a beauty to them, because these psalms are the songs of the Savior in his pilgrimage. They are the songs of his pilgrimage. You and I may read this psalm and we may come to these words, and they have a significance to you and I to some degree or another, perhaps. But you just think of the blessed Savior, the Son of God. And he's in the synagogue, and he is chanting with others these words: "Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my reins and my heart. In eternity past, he who was in the bosom of the Father, he knew the result of the examination of any and every heart." Doesn't he say, as we've already noted in the second chapter of Revelation, I try, I do the searching. And what knowledge then does he possess of the state and the condition of any that are searched? He cannot discover one righteous. No, not one. Thus, there is nothing but condemnation, nothing but failure. Nothing but failure and condemnation for everyone. But in his loving kindness, in his infinite mercy, he took upon himself the role of the substitute. And he says, "Examine me. Examine me. Oh, you've examined Jacob. You have examined Abraham and Jacob and Isaac and David. Examine me. I will stand in their place. Now examine me. Examine me by the same standard." They've been examined by the standard, by the rule of the divine law of God. And they have been incapable of obeying that law. They have violated it, they have broken it, they have rebelled against it, they've gone astray. But examine me. And because that examination is to take place, the apostle is able to write to the Galatians, "In the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, that he might redeem them that were under the law. He came who was the lawgiver, and he bowed under that law. And he now says from the depths of his holy soul, never man speak like he spoke. None could ever take up these words and ever utter them before God as he did. Examine me." What a difference when he is examined. When God examines you, when God examines me, what's the verdict? All your righteousnesses are as filthy rags. When he examines this glorious one, what's the verdict? This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. What a contrast. And he bows to be examined under the same law that we feel under. And he is described as God's beloved Son, in whom he is well pleased. And because he is well pleased, then he says, hear ye him. Do we hear him? Do we hear him uttering these words? Do we hear him representing the poor sinner? The poor sinner down in contrition, in the dust, in his misery, in his anxiety. I am a failure. I have failed. I am condemned. I am undone. But hear him. And before the throne of his glory, he says, examine me. Try my heart, prove me, test me. And what is the record concerning him? He was tempted in all points as we are, yet without sin. Oh, he was tried. He was tested. His will was tested. His affections were tested. Every part of his being was put to the test after his baptism. The Spirit of God led him into the wilderness. He didn't wander into the wilderness. The Spirit of God led him for what purpose? To be tempted. Because he had said, examine me. Put me to the test. Try me. There he is, and we may read of his temptations and think, how marvelous that he resisted all those temptations. The devil could find nothing in him and had to flee and leave him. But why was he doing it? Because he came to seek and to save that which was lost. And he came to give his life a ransom for many. And he came to demonstrate that he was the Lamb without spot and without blemish. When the Hebrew came with his lamb to the priest for to be sacrificed, the priest, of course, examined it, that it had not flaws and blemishes. It had to be a lamb without spot and without blemish, even the typical lamb. Here's the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. He's without spot and he's without blemish because he was tested and he was tried as fully as God could try him. He searched into the very innermost parts of his own Son and our nature. And he was well pleased with him. And when the poor sinner flees to Christ in his need, he's perishing, undone, and he has nothing. He's left naked and exposed. Here I am in my sin. I have to own it. It's my sin. Belongs to me. I cannot excuse it, and I cannot blame it on anyone else. Woe is me, for I am undone. Hear ye him, poor sinner. Hear ye him in all your need. What's he saying? Examine me. And the poor sinner that's by faith in Christ, when God examines his beloved Son, there is the poor sinner hidden in Christ, as safe can be. Examine me, and the poor sinner is with me, and my righteousness is his righteousness. I give myself wholly over to him or over to her. Now, if you have been examining yourself this day, and you're thinking to yourself, I'm a poor case. When I've examined myself and I've asked God to examine me, I have concluded that I have nothing to boast in, I have nothing to glory of, I have nothing to hold up before God to commend me. But I listen to the one that I'm directed to listen to. Hear ye him. And I hear him in the presence of God saying, examine me. And I know that I cannot perish if I am in him, because his examination was for me. God examined him for my sake. And therefore, as I trust in him and cling to him, I am accepted in the beloved. Oh, this is where these words truly become sweet. Examine me, O Lord, to hear the voice of the soul's beloved. This is the voice of my beloved on my behalf, for my sake. He's saying, examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my reins and my heart. And where do we see the heart of Christ? In Gethsemane, at Golgotha, and the love that he had for his Father, and the love that he had for his neighbor, the sinner, never wavered for one moment. Therefore, he has completed the examination and has justified himself in order to, he's justified himself under the law that he might justify those that are condemned under that law, who flee to him and trust in him. And my dear friend, if now at the end of this day, as it were, you do not find yourself driven to Christ, then the examination is not what it ought to be. If our examination of self is as it should be, then we must flee to Christ, for there's nowhere else. May God bless his word. Let us pray.